The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read this, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise."
David?
Yep. Thank you so much for reading that passage, Drew. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to look at your precious word this morning, we just pray that you will open up these words, share with us the truths you want us to hear this morning as we study your valuable word. Lord, we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Well, here we are with the part of the crucifixion scene. And Philippa mentioned earlier about Christianity Explored. This is a course that was founded by Rico Tice at All Souls Church in London. And Rico shared a story about these two youths in Chicago. The year was 1946. They were out drinking and, fueled by alcohol, they were looking for a fight. And they get on a bus, and there in the back seat, they see a guy in an overcoat huddled in the corner. And they thought, this looks like a likely target. And they went over and they poked him. And they goaded him, and they tried to get him to respond. Now, fortunately for them, the bus got to the next stop, and this guy stood up in his greatcoat and towered over them. And as he's getting off the bus, he passes one of them, his business card, which reads, Joe Lewis, boxer. Well, I have no doubt they sobered up pretty quickly on receiving that card, because Joe Lewis was the world heavyweight boxing champion in 1946 and had been for 9 consecutive years. It was said that he could knock out a horse with his bare fist. So I'm sure these guys would have sobered very quickly. But the point of that story is they were this close to greatness and they didn't realize it. And nor did they realize the consequences of their actions. And that's what we have in this opening scene, the crucifixion scene. You've got the people, you've got the religious order of the day, you've got the soldiers, and you have the criminals, and they're all hurling insults at Jesus on the cross. They're in the presence of greatness, and they don't realize that, and neither do they realize the consequences. Because before them, here is Jesus, Son of God, the promised Messiah, fulfilling part of God's salvation plan, that is to die for our sin and then be raised by God on the third day, confirming his acceptance of that sacrifice. Here before them, you see the salvation plan being worked out before them. Now, we are told in the Bible that the wages of sin or consequence of sin is death, an eternal separation from God. When mankind first sinned, God said, "You will surely die." And death came into our world, and death became a certainty for all of us. Death and eternal separation from God. And for me to be able to alter the course of my life, which is headed for death and eternal separation, we would need a sacrifice. we would need a substitutionary death acceptable to God. Now, the Bible also tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So no human being could be that sacrifice acceptable to God. But here is the great news, that God, loving and gracious God, knew that would happen. He knew that if he gave us free will choice, we would use that in a way that would not be appropriate. We would disobey. We would live life according to ourselves and not according to God. We would be selfish in our outlook. And he knew all of that. And before the earth was created, he put in process, the plan of salvation to reach us and to reach these people standing at the foot of the cross. All the way through the first part of our Bible, called the Old Testament, you will find prophecy pointing to the Savior, pointing to the Messiah, God's own Son, who would break into our world. He would allow us to see who God really is, but he would be crucified on the cross of Calvary, dying in your and my place and their place. And we know that that sacrifice was accepted because God raised Jesus on the third day. We have total assurance this plan was fulfilled. And the ironies of this crowd looking at Jesus on the cross. They're saying, if you are the Messiah, if you are the chosen one, why didn't you save yourself? Now, in reality, he can't save himself, because if he did, he wouldn't be able to save us. They mockingly call him king. And in the meantime, he is the king. He is God's chosen king. And they also look at him on this cross and say, you know, why? Why are you there? Why can't you get down? Why can't you come down? And he cannot do that if he's going to save us. He is innocent, and he's been charged by the guilty. Ironical. And they just didn't see it. They were in the presence of greatness, but they didn't realize what was going on before their very eyes. And then, as a next point I'd like us to observe, is these two criminals on the cross, being crucified either side of Jesus. And this fulfills one of those prophecies I mentioned in the Old Testament. There is a book called Isaiah. It was written 700 years before Jesus. And in Isaiah 53:12, it says this: he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So God is telling us that Jesus would be crucified with two criminals, one on either side. And here, to my absolute amazement, as I was reading back through this passage, here are two people who are charged with the same sentence. They're dying on the cross of Calvary together, and they're hurling abuse at Jesus. And one continued to hurl abuse. And we read, as Drew led us, that one of the criminals continued to say, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Now, he didn't say that because he believed. There was only one thing on his mind, and that was self. I want to be saved from this cross. get me down from here. And guess what happened to him? He was ignored. Jesus said nothing to him. His life was self, and here he's still selfishly thinking of self. But then something happened to that other criminal. Suddenly, something stirred in his heart that was used by God's Holy Spirit to open his eyes to the reality of the situation before them. And he calls across to the other criminal in front of Jesus, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear the judgment of God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Isn't that amazing? This is a criminal coming to the defense of Jesus at Calvary. Now, one would expect that the religious rulers, establishment of the day, would be the ones coming to Jesus' defense. No. It's a criminal hanging on a cross beside him. Something happened to this man that changed his mind. He realized he was in the presence of greatness. And he came out with those words. We don't know exactly what happened. Was it the way that Jesus was silent before his false accusers? Was it because Jesus did not react when he was being flogged and beaten and nailed to the cross? Was it his silence? There's another prophecy, in fact. It comes out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53 also. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Was it that Jesus was silent in the face of torture, in the face of crucifixion? Or was it the way that Jesus responded to the mockery when he prayed, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing"? Was it the sign over Jesus? Jesus, King of the Jews. Something happened that made this criminal realize he was in the presence of greatness. Something stirred in his heart. And he says, "Jesus," which means God saves. "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now that's a pretty astounding statement to make from this person who's just had the light put on in his heart. Not only is he saying, "Jesus, God saves, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He knew enough about Old Testament scripture and theology, probably learned as a young person, like our young person today, people today in Sunday school. He knew enough that the Messiah, the chosen one, would come in his kingdom. And by definition, he also believed that whilst Jesus is dying next to him, he will be raised from the grave, because he couldn't bring in his kingdom if he's in the grave. Isn't that amazing? That this criminal would come out with those words. Now, obviously, he didn't know everything there is to know about Christianity and about Jesus. He hadn't been on Alpha. He hadn't been on Christianity Explored. But he moved with a mustard seed of faith towards Jesus. And he believed, and he cried out for rescue from the position that he was in. And only eternity will tell us what really happened. But one thing for sure, that wasn't the ending that day he expected. He expected to be tortured and beaten and die a shameful death. And here is a new beginning. Here is a new beginning. Thirdly, I want us to look at Jesus' response. Grace personified. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. What a beautiful, personal response. Jesus accepted him there and then and forgave him. Long before this criminal ever thought he needed mercy, Jesus was giving him mercy. Long before this criminal ever thought of asking for forgiveness, Jesus was praying, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." Long before this criminal came to his senses, Jesus was hanging on the cross for him. And that is the whole point of the gospel. It's God's wonderful grace that despite us, despite our doing our own thing and going our own way, we have a great God of love who is passionate about being in a right relationship with us. And I use those words advisedly because with sin in our life, God, who is pure and righteous and just, cannot accept us in this state. We have to have a substitutionary sacrifice, death, that would allow us to come back into this direct relationship with God. And that substitutionary death is Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary in your and my place. Back to little Jonty this morning. When he came home, he just ran up to me, beaming from ear to ear. "Look what I've made, Dang Dang." How thrilling it is that our young people are being taught the basis of the gospel. It's the cross with Jesus' name on it. And that fabulous verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, carrying a burden." We all have burdens in this world. We live in a fallen world. And the one thing I should say to you this morning is becoming a Christian does not give you immunity. And this is what Philippa said. Becoming a Christian is not a walk in the park. Becoming a Christian can mean suffering for your faith, as the Christians in Syria and Iraq are experiencing right now. Jesus did not promise us a rose garden. He said, "You will have trial when you follow me." But he did promise us a way out of the course that we're on, death and eternal separation from God. It is a place that the Bible and Jesus talk of as hell. And Philippa again referred to that. Now, there is a myth abroad that loving God would not send you to hell. And the truth of the matter is, he doesn't. We take ourselves to hell when we reject his offer of grace through Jesus, we consign ourselves to this place which is eternal separation from God. That's what we're seeing through these verses this morning, is the way to get back in a right relationship with God. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So there's another sort of myth that floats around, that if I'm good, however one defines that, if I give money to the poor, if I work in charity, if I do all of these things that the Bible calls works, I will find favor with God. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Only through Jesus on the cross of Calvary do you get to that point where you can be reconciled with the Father. Not because of anything I could possibly do. All because I believed in his Son and what he has done for me on the cross. Now, if you're here this morning, perhaps wondering why you're here, and yet as we've walked through these verses, something is stirring in your heart, I would appeal to you not to leave that. God is very patient. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants to be in a relationship with us. And if that penitent criminal were with us this morning, I think he would say two things to us. One, it's never too late. Two, do it right now. Do it right now. Why wait? We live in a very difficult world. We're on course for death, many of us, and eternal life, and eternal separation. But that course can be altered if we only accept Jesus into our heart. Now, before we sing the next song, I felt led to share a prayer of a penitent sinner. And if this prayer just resonates with you in your heart, I would urge you to take this forward. Speak to the friend that brought you. Speak to one of the leaders here. If you're not sure, if you're confused, if this is not making all the sense, come on Thursday night. You get a free meal. You get to drink my wine. And it will be a pleasure to spend 6 weeks with you for Drew and I to just share more about this wonderful gospel. We have a great Savior, and he's waiting for us to respond. So if I could pray that prayer, and then we'll stand and we'll sing the last hymn, last few hymns. Lord, I recognize that you are God and have the right to control my life. I have rebelled against you, sinning in my thoughts, my words, and my actions, sometimes unconsciously, but sometimes quite deliberately. I am sorry for the way I have lived, and I ask you to forgive me as best I can and with your strength. I want to turn away from my rebellion. I want to be like Philippa. I want to move to that point where I obey you and you become Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Please come into my life and take complete control of it. Amen. Don't forget Jonty's passport to heaven. And we're going to stand and sing, See Him in Jerusalem, and then When I Survey the Wonderful Cross of Jesus. And then Drew will come and close.